I want to continue on talking about, we've been working on this series, God Dreamed a Dream Worth Living, and we are continuing on in that. Now, last week we talked about the difference between working with God when under the anointing of God, having the Spirit of God working on you, versus being under the law, and how different that is. And today I want to take kind of a closer look at how Jesus did this, because Jesus didn't only come to fulfill the promises of God and provide the opening for us to release all of the things we did wrong and receive victory, but we also have him as an example of how to live. So I want to look more closely at how we can live according to what he was doing, and he was a great example. He really showed us what to do. So let's take a look at that a little bit closer and find out what are some of the things that he did that we can do so we can have the same results. Now remember that Jesus is living as a man. So he's walking as a man, and he has the anointing of God upon him. And this right here is the same conditions that we can walk under. Walking as humans, we can have the anointing of God upon us. That means whatever he did, we can do. The same results that he got, we should be getting. But we got to do certain things, you know, in alignment with that in order to get those results. So this is what Jesus was demonstrating to us, because before he was walking on the earth, there was nobody that really showed us how do you walk in the ways of God? How do you do the things that God, you know, promised us? How do we bring those into manifestation? Now, just by believing in Jesus, we receive our forgiveness. We receive our, you know, our freedom. But in order to really live life on a higher level, there are certain things that we can do and we can say and we can be according to what Jesus did so we can get the same results. If we want to have a really incredible life right now, we want to do those things. So the first thing, as I was talking about, was that the anointing. Jesus was called Christ, not because that's his last name, as I've been telling you the last few times, but I want to really make sure you get that. But Christ means the anointed one. He had received the anointing of the Spirit of God upon him so that he would now walk as a man with the Spirit of God upon him. And that was different. That did not happen before where the Spirit came and stayed on somebody like that throughout their life. Let's take a look in John chapter 1, because he talks about this. John the Baptist is the one who was baptizing people with water, but he was told by the one that sent him, God, he was told how he would recognize, and he kept mentioning, there's somebody coming after me that will baptize with fire. There is somebody coming after me I'm not even worthy of. He kept talking about this other person that was coming. But God also told him how he would recognize him. He said he will recognize him by the Spirit coming upon him. Let's read that part. This is John speaking. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. He's talking about Jesus. I did not know him, but I knew he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist sees the sign that he was waiting for. Now, obviously, this wasn't happening all the time before that. This wasn't happening at all before that. The Spirit of God was not coming down and staying upon people before John the Baptist saw Jesus. And he sees the Spirit come down like a dove after he baptizes him, after Jesus comes up out of the water. He sees the Holy Spirit come down upon him and remain on him, stay on him. Meaning he has the anointing of God, that Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of love, God's Spirit, upon him all the time. So he's walking as a man, but he is anointed with the Spirit of God. And because he is the anointed one, Christ, because he is the anointed one, when we believe in him, we can receive that anointing. Meaning, we can receive the Holy Spirit. We do that by believing in him and inviting him to come into our heart, and then we're baptized with water, and we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the same Spirit, and it remains on us. Before that time, it didn't remain. The Spirit would sometimes come upon people, but then would go off of them. Remember, we were reading in, I believe it was Elijah, or Ezekiel actually, who had the Spirit upon him for a short time. He really loved it, and then when it left, his spirit really it missed it. There was like a yearning and a longing to have it back upon him because now it had gone from him. But when we receive the Spirit of God, it is always upon us. Once we have received it, it doesn't go away anymore. It's not separate from us. We become one with it. We become one, and that's the way Jesus walked. So this is the first step in being like Jesus, is we want to receive that Holy Spirit. We are not walking alone in our own flesh. We are walking in alignment with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is upon us always, never leaves you. You're never without it at any point in time. You always have that Spirit upon you. So that's the first step we want to remember. Now, the second thing that Jesus did that we can also do, and we can, I've got to impress this upon you that anything that Jesus did, you can do too. Anything that he did, you can do. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God. He was walking as a man. He had the Spirit of God upon him. You're walking as a man or a woman. You have the Spirit of God upon you. So you're walking in the same conditions. So as you walk in the same conditions, you can do the same things. If one man can do it, you can do it. If he did it, you can do it. There's no difference. He was showing us how to do this. So we need to know, expect, and realize, I can do these things. God's promise, let's go back. God dreamed a dream worth living and fulfilled those promises through Jesus, not so we couldn't receive the promises, but so that we could have and we could do and we could fulfill. He wanted us to be able to do that, to fulfill those promises. If it didn't work, if we couldn't do the same things Jesus did, then the dream was never fulfilled. The promises were never met. So why would God make them? God always fulfills his promises, and he did through Jesus. So we have to now know, expect, and believe that we can do the same things that Jesus did. So the second thing that he did was, and this was very important, Jesus didn't just say anything that came into his mind. He didn't just babble about things and talk about whatever he wanted to talk about because it made him sound special or important or intelligent. He only said what God said. Whatever God told him to say, he said. Listen to that. He only said the things that God said to him. And here we read, if we go down to John chapter 14, verse 10, you can look this up in your scripture if you want, or you can just listen to me read it. And this is him. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So he's saying here, he's not speaking of his own mind or whatever comes to him. He is speaking the words of authority that come from God. How do we speak the words of authority? If we want to have authority and power, how do we do it? We do the same thing Jesus did. Don't be like these people in the world that are just babblers. Man, we were in this long line at the airport waiting to check in Cancun, and there was this couple in front of us. And they loved to talk about nothing. And the two of them, they were talking, just babbling, both back and forth to one another. I mean, after a few minutes in line, Liza was looking at me going, I'm feeling kind of dizzy. And I said, are you listening to them? She said, I'm trying not to, but they just talk about anything. We don't have the authority of God when we're just being babblers. You know, but there's a lot of people like this in the world. In front of us on the airplane, there was this two people that began talking. Pretty soon I realized, oh, they're intellectuals, they have degrees. And you could hear them talking back and forth. Now, they were talking with the purpose of trying to impress one another, how much they knew, what schools they'd gone to, the people that they knew, and they started talking about all these things that they have, knowledge, trying to impress one another. They're not speaking the words that God is telling them to speak. They are just trying to impress somebody else. We had another man that we encountered was a guy that drove us to our hotel. This guy was, man, he was a chatty Cathy. He was talking all the time. He was kind of a nervous talker. You know, he just had to talk because he was nervous. You might have met people like this. Just got to chat. You know, so he's talking about anything we're driving by. He's talking about it. He's telling us about hotels. He's telling about, you know, I just got off a plane ride. I wanted to just relax. I didn't want to, you know, be chatting. I just needed to kind of just take a moment. And this guy's just nonstop rambling. But when we're talking in these ways, whether we're talking because we're trying to impress somebody else, or we're talking because we're nervous, or we're just talking because we like the sound of our own voice, we're not using the authority of God the way Jesus did. He's saying, I don't say just anything. I only say what God tells me to say. So when Jesus said something, I'm sure people were listening, because it wasn't just babbling about something that was going on, or he was nervous about something. He was saying something of authority. I don't speak of my own authority, he says. He is speaking God's authority. We want to get into the same way. If we want to get the results that Jesus got, we want to speak the same way. Don't just be babbling about whatever comes to your mind, but start to speak the words that God tells you to say. What does God tell you to say? If you begin to speak in that way, now your words begin to have power. Your words have meaning, and they begin to change things in your life. But we got to know what God is saying, and we say what God says. That's when we really have power in our life. Now, if we go to the next step, Jesus really, he's also doing what God tells him to do. He's not just doing anything. He is doing what God tells him to do. You know, some people, again, they got a list of stuff they're doing. They're running around all over the place, all kinds of errands, all kinds of activities. They're keeping themselves busy from morning to night. Run, run, run. They're like a hamster on a wheel. But did God tell them to do any of that stuff? No, they just filled up their time with activities. They had things they needed to do, or they felt they needed to do to stay out of trouble or stay busy or whatever it is. And so they're just running all the time. We want to be like Jesus did. Jesus didn't do something until God told him. I remember the story of when he turned water to wine. His mother came up to him and said, Jesus, they're out of wine at this party. Jesus goes, what's that got to do with me? It's not my time yet. That's funny kind of way to respond to his mother when she's coming up. She's got a problem. Hey, why is he saying that? Because he hasn't heard from God about what to do about this yet. Just because his mother sees there's a problem that there's no wine left at the wedding doesn't mean he's got to do anything about it until he hears from God. Now, it doesn't say anything in the story about that, but I'll bet you he sits for a moment and talks to God and says, what should I do about this? Should I do something about this? Just because my mother thinks I should do something about this, should I do it? No, he's going to do what God is asking him to do. When he receives the guidance from God, then he acts. Okay, fill up all these basins with water and take some of it out of there to the master of the party. The head of the party. And then it turns to wine. See, if we just do things because we think it's the right thing to do, or somebody else is telling us to do it, we're not going to get the results that Jesus was getting. We need to be listening. What is God telling us to do? You know, often we're trying to, people are doing things in their life, doing activities and different events, and then they're asking God to bless them. This is backwards, though, because if God has told you to do something, he has already blessed it. The blessing is already on whatever you're doing if you're following what God has told you to do. That means God has already provided all of the resources you need. God has already laid everything out for you. God's blessing is already upon it. Why? Because he said, yeah, go and do this. If he tells you to go do it, know that you have the blessing upon you. Don't run out, do stuff, and then say, oh, gee, God, I hope you bless this. No, you put the cart before the horse. You got it all backwards. We want to be like Jesus. He got those results because he did it a certain way. We can get those same results if we do it the same way. We want to be asking God, what do we need to do? Let's follow the guidance that God is putting in our hearts. Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to do? Now, how did he get that guidance, Jesus? How is he getting that guidance? He was praying. Many times in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus going off by himself to pray. What's he doing in those prayers? He's consulting God. And he doesn't pray the way some people pray. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, I need all your help. Oh, just have some mercy on me here. No, he's listening. He's listening to hear what is God going to tell him to say? What is God going to tell him to do? I'm sure he's also thanking God for the things he's already told him to do and to say. So his time is like with a friend. He comes together with God and he's communing with him. And he's taking that moment to really understand where is God going to lead him next. Before Jesus did teachings, if you look through the scripture, you always see him praying first. He goes up onto a mountain to pray. Then he comes down and does some teachings and healings. You never hear him see him going and teaching and healing and then pray. The praying always comes first because he's consulting God. What do I need to say? What do I need to do? That's the way we need to do it as well. We want to be in prayer, not only talking to God, and we should be praising God in prayer, not just pleading to him. He's already answered the prayer and the promises. So we're not pleading for help. When we pray to God, we're praising God in those prayers, and we're listening. This is even more important. We're listening so we can hear the Spirit of God. Where is he leading us? We have the Spirit upon us, but if we never listen to it, if we never let it lead us, we will never step into that great life that God promised us, because we'll still be just running on our own actions and our own words. Jesus did it a certain way, because that's the way that works. We can do it that same way. Take time to pray and listen. Don't just be pleading and crying and bellowing to God to help you, because he already has delivered that. Now we want to open up and listen. God, what do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? And when we get the okay to do it, now we know it's blessed. Excuse me. Now we know that whatever we're saying is blessed. And whatever we're doing is blessed. We know we already have his approval because he told us to do it. And we know that we're speaking words of authority. We're not speaking words to impress. We're not speaking words just to because we have nothing else to do and we like the sound of our voice. We're not doing things to impress. We're not doing things to keep busy. We're doing things because God said, these are the things to do if you want to have a great life, or these are the things to do if you want to help somebody, if you truly want to help them, this is what to do. Sometimes you see somebody in need, you just run out and you start doing stuff. You give them some money, you start, you know, doing all these other things. Well, you never consulted. Is that what God wanted to do for that person? Because maybe that wasn't helpful. Maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. And then you're going to say, well, God bless them. How can he bless them if you didn't do the things he was going to ask you to do for them? You have to first listen and then follow whatever he says, and it will be a blessing to you and to that other person. That's how it works. And that's the way Jesus did it, continuously. And he was doing this because he wanted to manifest a different way of living. For us to change our lives, if we want to change our lives, we've got to change the way we're doing things. We can continue doing things the way we already know. We can continue saying what we've always said, doing what we've always done, and we'll continue getting what we've always got. Or we can change our entire way of life to living the blessing, to receive the promises of God. God dreamed a life worth living. He dreamed it for us. He wanted us to have incredible life, a life of blessing. He wanted us to be filled with the promises that he had put forth. But for us to receive it fully, to manifest it, we have to do the same things Jesus did. We have to listen and follow that guide. We're still walking in the Spirit. We're not walking under the law. We're listening to the Spirit. What is the Spirit of God telling us to say? That's when our incredible life manifests. if we change, if we, it transforms us. And the Spirit will be working inside to change us, change our hearts, change our minds, change our words. But at the same time, we want to be helping by listening. Where is the Spirit guiding me? What does the Spirit want me to do? The more we can hear that, the better we can manifest that incredible life that you dream of, that God dreamed of for you. You can receive it and manifest it. Now, Jesus, you know, he also was taking authority. Wherever he went, he was the authority. This is what it's like when you're walking under the anointing of God. He never played a victim. He never played the victim. If you look back at some of the stories, you could have said, gee, Jesus could have been a victim there. Oh, these guys are picking on me. All these Pharisees keep picking on me. I try to preach my sermons and they're coming after me. Calling me names, blasphemer. I never get a break. Nobody ever gives me a break. Did you hear Jesus saying that? Was he playing the victim? No. You cannot be the victor and play the victim. These two don't go together. If you're going to be the victor, you got to play the victor all the time. You have the authority. When the anointing of God is upon you, you have the authority. You are anointed. You got to walk as a victor. Exactly. You know, the closest I've ever came to having victory and being a victim was in recreational hockey. In recreational hockey, because we were there just playing for fun, I remember there was a few times where the other team didn't have enough players show up for that day. Well, we wanted to play a game anyway, so our team gave them a few players, and I happened to be one of the players that went to the other team. And so in this game, I score 3 goals, and we win the game. But I don't really feel like a victor, because I was playing for the other team. And I have to walk back into my locker room with my team that lost, my real team that lost. So even though technically the team I was playing for won, as I walk into that locker room, there is a feeling of losing. It's weird. You can't be, you know, here I am, I won, I should be the victor, but I don't feel like it. You can't mix those two. Jesus never mixed them. He never played the victim. He always played the victor. Because he had the authority. Now, he has given you that victory. He has given you that victory over all things. He has put that victory into your hands, and when you invite him into your heart, you have the victory. Now, we have to know we have the victory, we have the authority, and walk in that way. Don't get to the point where you start to look at things in the world and go, oh God, there's so many homeless people out there. Why are there so many sick people? You got to know that you got the authority to do something about it. Jesus, having the authority, when he saw something wrong in the world and was given the guidance from God to do something, he did something. He healed lepers, so there were less lepers. He didn't say, oh man, there's sure a lot of lepers in the world. What is coming to the society? It's really crumbling. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, God, you want me to do something about these lepers? Oh, good. Okay, I'll heal these 10. Boom. Less lepers in the world. Less lepers. Doesn't come about by us complaining about how bad the conditions are. It comes about by us knowing that we are the victors and we have the authority. And by doing something when God tells us to do it, it changes that situation. We can get all upset. Oh, there's so many homeless people. What a travesty. And talk about how awful it is. Or we can know we have the authority. We have the victory already. God, do you want me to do something about this? Perhaps he'll say, not yet, it's not your time. Maybe he'll tell there's something else first you got to do. Maybe he will say, here's what you should do. And remember, Jesus was doing exactly what God said. He wasn't altering it a little bit. He wasn't changing it. Well, God, you said to do this, but that sounds pretty hard, so I'm going to try this. How's that? There was no plea bargaining there. If God told him to do something, he did exactly what God said. Same for us. If we want to make changes in the world, rather than being a victim, we got to be the victor. We got to know we have the authority and begin to speak with the authority in our life. You see something wrong in your life, know that you have the authority. And now ask God, consult God, pray with Him and take a moment and say, God, what do you want me to say about this? Don't be like the world and start complaining. Oh, there's all these problems. Oh, our government, it's a big issue. Because what are you going to get? Remember, Jesus is saying and doing what God asked Him to do to manifest a greater life. If we're just complaining and talking like the world talks and doing all the things the world does, we're going to manifest the same life the world has. And if you're talking about all the problems of the world, that's the life you're going to manifest. I don't think that's the real life you want, is it? I'm sure you want a life of victory like Jesus promised. Like He said, you're going to have that. That means we've got to look past those problems and listen to what God tells us to say. Because He speaks words of victory. He speaks words of authority. As Jesus said, I do not speak on my own authority. He is speaking the authority of God. And He is doing. If we can follow this simple blueprint, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think of the Gospels and following what Jesus said, like the manual, that first manual of, Life for Idiots. It was the very first one. How simple could it be? This is like very simple. Whatever God says, you say. Whatever God tells you to do, you do. Can it get more simple than that? I mean, let's break it down. That is really simple. I mean, He was way ahead of His time in these books. They should have put it in that orange cover, and had it at Barnes & Nobles. Because really, that's how simple it is for us. All we have to do is learn to listen. Learn to listen, consult God before we're speaking, before we're doing. Don't get caught up in doing the things of the world and playing the victim. Jesus never played the victim. He was the victor. It didn't matter how many times the Pharisees said something against Him. He still was the authority, and He still had victory. It didn't matter what kind of tricks people tried, what kind of sneaky questions they came up with. He always won because He was listening. What would God say? Remember when they brought this woman caught in the very act of adultery? What did He do? They said, what are you going to do about it? She should be stoned by our law. He was writing in the dirt. What do you think He was doing when He was writing in the dirt? I bet He was taking a moment to consult God. What should I say to them, these guys that have brought this woman? And God probably gave them this very good statement. Say this, let he is without, who is without sin cast the first stone. And that quieted them all. There was nothing they could say. And that's the thing, when we speak by the authority of God, there usually is nothing that people can say. There is nothing people can say against that, because it's got that kind of power. It's got that kind of ability. And it's the same when you're doing, when you're walking in victory. We got to get to the point where we understand in our lives clearly. We are the victors. We have received the victory already. We're not waiting for it. The minute we invite Jesus into our heart, we have the victory. We are the victors. Begin to walk in this mentality. Begin to speak in this mentality. Begin to live in this mentality, because this is who you are. You are the victors of God. God dreamed a dream worth living, and you have received the promise, and you have it now. And He wanted you to be victors. He wanted you to have dominion over the earth. Remember that very first thing He said when He created you? Be blessed. Have dominion. He was saying, have victory over all things in your life. There are no obstacles too big. Nothing is impossible with God. We can overcome it all. And all we need to do is follow the simple steps. Say what God tells us to say. Do what God tells us to do. Know that we have the authority. Consult Him whenever there's a question and we're unsure. Consult Him. Jesus did it. He consulted Him to find out. What do we need to do here? And then He did it. Do what God says to do. Follow it to the letter. And amazing things will happen. You will get the same results that Jesus got. People will be healed. Your life will be transformed. The Spirit of God will flow across you stronger and stronger and stronger till it's undeniable, and you are a victor in all ways. You have victory. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes, nothing can stop you from winning continuously again and again, because it's already been delivered into your hands fully and completed in all ways. Receive it in Jesus' name and go out into the world and transform it.